Big Beginnings, How to Write an Introduction That Will Hook Your Reader, with Eli Gonzalez.
Hello, everyone. Raise your hands if you've learned something already. All right, raise your hands if you're motivated to write your book. I hope you are. The truth of the matter is that less than 1% of people that start writing a book actually finish it. Not 1% of the world, 1% of people like you that have started to write a book have actually finished it. So let me introduce myself. My name is Eli Gonzalez. I'm a best-selling ghostwriter. What that means is I've written books that have become legitimate bestsellers, more than 10 of them. I've had the pleasure of working for ministry leaders known around the world. I've written books for conservative political leaders. And right now, in the last 5.5 years, I'm working on my 80th book right now. I founded the International Ghostwriters Association. It's a 14-week course that certifies people on how to make a living as a ghostwriter. So they asked me to come in here and speak to you guys today on how to start a book. And I hope you're ready to take some notes. I have a lot of information for you. I'm not going to get too flowery. I want you guys to leave here with definitive ways on how to start a book that's going to engage people. But let me start with this. The world is ruled by the dead. The world is ruled by the dead. What I mean by that is men and women throughout history, centuries ago, in what used to pass as books, have written down their methodologies, their stories, their ideas. As the years went on, these fresh concepts were added on to that which was written long ago, to the point that today, that which was written long ago are the truths that we believe in and are the laws that we abide by. That is the power of the written word. Regardless of what happens with technology, people might read in different formats, but the written word still has sustaining power, and it's not going to go out of style, right? It's a big deal to write a book. Big deal to write a book. Hey, so who wants to stand up and say in 30 seconds what their book's about? I tried this last time. I didn't say 30 seconds. We have to wait like 20 minutes. Who can say what their book's about in 20, 30 seconds? Stand up, please. Your name and then what your book is about.
My name is Ashley Flowers. It's called Letters to My Soulmate. It's a poetry book about having a relationship with God and getting people to be able to have a real conversation with God, learning about who he is, and have a stronger connection and relationship with him.
Awesome. So who else? Who else would like to stand up? Go ahead. You're not being graded.
Okay. I'm a teacher and I'm on break, so.
Okay.
Mine is going to be, well, I've already started it, but it's a correlation between taking care of foster children and those foster children wanting to go down into Tampa and adopt a dog.
Okay.
Everybody needs a home. Everyone needs a place. Everyone needs to be loved.
Everyone needs a home. Everyone needs to be loved. Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, what usually happens in a situation just like this, those of you that didn't stand up, you were thinking about it. What would I say my book is about? Here's the thing. In order for you to finish writing your book and not be in that statistic of the 99-point-something% of people that started to write a book and didn't finish it, you have to know your why. Why are you writing a book? And if it's because God called you, let me tell you, that's the wrong answer. That is what people answer that don't finish a book. Your why should be so real and authentic to you that you probably don't want to share it to somebody because it might sound egotistical. Right? But why? Because here's the deal. Writing a book is hard. That's why less than 1% of people write it. And I'm going to give you guys plenty of tips on how to start your first few chapters. But really, if you don't leave here with a determination to finish your book and with an authentic why, it doesn't matter what we teach you here, you're not going to do it. So why do you want to write the book? And be honest with yourself. Do you want to be the next Joyce Myers? Write it down. Do you want to start a women's ministry? I wanted to bless everybody. That's not it. What do you want it to do for you? 2 years after your book has been published, 2 years, best case scenario, what did the book do for you? That's your why. Did it put you on stage? Did it put you on TV? What did it do for you? Are you going around the country speaking to people that are hurting, to women that have been abused, to marriages that are in trouble? Are you speaking to leaders and leadership conferences? Why do you want to write the book? Be authentic. Because I tell you what, in the desert of writing a book, if your why is not authentic, you will not have the fuel to finish the book. Again, you might write it down, or you probably don't want to write it down because somebody might look at it and it might feel real egotistical. And I'll tell you, we're all Christian here, but even if it feels egotistical, it's probably the right answer. It's probably your why. I wrote a book on how to write a book called Words of Influence. I wrote about it because where I'm at, there's quite a few ghostwriters, and I wanted to stand out. And I wanted to be known as the best ghostwriter that can write business books, so I wrote a book on how to write a business book. And I wanted to do seminars, and I was able to do seminars in different parts of the country. That was my why. I have no shame in my game. That's why I wrote it, and that's what it got me. If you don't know why, if you don't know the journey you want to go to, your book cannot take you there. You got to know the journey you want to take your book. 2 years from now, my book's been published. What did it do for me? Best case scenario. Write that down. That's your why. If you just leave here understanding your why, you have a shot at being that less than 1% that finishes your book. And we really want to motivate you in this conference, guys. Listen, the Church of God, we are being drowned out. There are smaller fractions that are just so much louder than the Church of God is today. We are being outwritten. We are being outpublished. We are being outpoeted. I don't know if I created a new word or not. You know, but we're being outthought. We're creatively. We're being outmaneuvered. You know, I mean, write your book. Write your book. Write your book. The world needs it. The world. The world needs your book. So let me tell you guys about a myth that I heard going around, that there's this thing called writer's block. It doesn't exist. Writer's block, I'm calling it out for the lie that it is. It doesn't exist. I'm a professional writer. I don't have writer's block. Truck drivers don't have truck driver's block. What happens is people make the biggest mistake when they start to write a book. You know what that is? They start to write their book. And what happens is they write themselves into a corner, and they don't know how to get out of it. And then they like, oh, I got writer's block. No, you just weren't prepared to write. Okay, so the first thing you want to do when you start to write a book is write out an outline, a comprehensive outline. There's a story arc to everything. I once wrote a book on flood insurance and how to get out of paying flood insurance through FEMA and all these forms you got to write. But there's still a story. There's a flow to every story you want to say. Write an outline. So people come up to me sometimes and they're like, Eli, I have these 10 chapters and this is my 10 chapter book. Let's get going. And I tell them, okay, but you're not ready yet. Look, the whole world's got ADHD. The whole world. You, me. It even went upwards. Like even my grandmother has ADHD. She wants things now. What I'm saying is that if your book is like about leadership or something like that, nobody has the time to read about one thing for a chapter. Not when they can get whatever answer they're looking for on a 15-second Google search. So when people hire us to write books for them and they have these 10 great ideas, I'm like, great. Now let's get to work on your outline. In that session, we come out with 50. Because your book should have about 3 to 5 subtitles in each chapter. You have to keep your information moving. Even if it's a book about your life, right? You have to have those bold subtitles letting the author know you finished talking about when you were born. Now you're talking about your first steps. Letting the author know, when your daddy dropped you on your head, right? So you need subtitles. So imagine if you're writing a book on leadership or on forgiveness or on prayer. Imagine someone looking at your table of contents and they see it's 10 chapters. You're looking at two books. Which one should I buy? This one has 10 things, 10 chapters. This one has 10 chapters too. But this one has, my, it's talking about 50 different things. Same size, same everything, right? That your table of contents is a hook. When somebody takes a peek at your book, well, does it have enough for them? Can you sell them on your table of contents? Yes, if you have, if you do the outline the way we do it, and if you put those things in there. If you see my book, Words of Influence, you know, it's how to start the big beginning, and it's got all these different things. When you look at it, you're like, oh my goodness. So write your outline. If you're already writing your book, stop writing your book, write your outline. You might find that your book is going in a direction you really don't even want it to go. And you're just like on this train and it's going crazy. You're not even in control of it anymore. Because it takes way too much effort to find out where you got off the track. Right? And now you don't even want to write anymore because I don't know what's going on. Hey, what's going on with your book? I don't know. You know, the book's got a mind of its own because you don't have an outline. Again, the biggest mistake people make when they start to write a book is they start to write a book, write the outline of your book. Write the outline of your book. It should have a flow. It should have a flow beginning to end. Right? If it's a book about your life, if it's a fiction book, right, there's a story arc. There's a story arc. There's the foundation. There's the crazy happening. There's what we call the chance happening. That's when chapter 3, chapter 4, the book really kicks into high gear. That's when you add different characters in there. If you're doing a character-driven book, guys, have a character with a lisp. Have a character with some kind of speech impediment. Those characters are fun to read about. Have a character with a big-time Southern draw, right? Those people are fun to read about. Okay. Amazon, the largest bookseller of the day. Online sources like Goodreads, like Barnes & Noble Online, they are the biggest booksellers. Traditional publishers are still doing things incorrectly in my book. What I mean by that is the way they format the books. Like, they'll put their acknowledgments on the front of the book. Have you seen that? Where there's these books and all these people are acknowledging, they're thanking all the people. And when you format your book through Zulon, right, because I have my own publishing company, but I work with Zulon too sometimes. When you're publishing through Zulon, make sure that you tell them, put the acknowledgments in the back of the book. If I'm reading your book, I really don't care who you're thanking. I want to know, can you talk to me? Can you reach me? Can you touch me? I don't care who you're thanking. I don't know Billy Smith. What do I care? Amazon has given me this sneak peek. And people are wasting this valuable piece of real estate in their book by thanking people that nobody knows. Right? So we have to take advantage of that sneak peek section. Number one, do you have someone to write the foreword for your book? You probably never thought of it. Think about it now. Have someone write the foreword for your book. Eli, how do I get someone to write the foreword for my book? I'm going to share with you guys my secret sauce. This is my secret ninja trick on how to get someone famous to write the foreword for your book. No offense for us nobodies, right? So I've gotten Governor Jeb Bush to write a foreword for the book. I write a lot of business books. I've gotten Dr. Ivan Meisner, who created the big networking group, BNI, millionaire, billionaire. I've gotten the CEO of Nutribullet, billionaire, to write a foreword for a book. We've come close with a few other people. I'm going to show you the trick that we did. I'm writing a book for this lady, and she's a vegan. And so she did what I asked her to do to three people, the three of the biggest people in the vegan industry, like Dr. Nelson T. Campbell and Dr. Eilstein, Pam Popper. I only know these names because they're in the book. And they all agreed to write the foreword for the book. She had a dilemma. These are superstars. How can I tell them that I got all three of them? She didn't stop there. She went for 12 more. She now has 15 of the biggest names in the vegan industry that have agreed to be part of her book. You know why? Because she asked them to. because she asked them to. Write this down, please. Make a list of your top five people. Of who? You don't have to make the list. Just write this down. Top five people of who I would love to write the foreword for my book. It doesn't matter if you know them or not. We're going to roll the dice with this. We're going to give this a shot. And then this is my secret ninja stuff. You people got to take my course and pay me to know this, but that's all right. This is a freebie. This is what I do, guys. This, you're going to miss the magic. All right, so I just met Dr. Larry Kefauver yesterday, and I've been a big fan of his. The guy's amazing. He's gotten to where I want to get to. So I'm a fan. I really am a true fan. So if I'm going to write my next book, and I want Dr. Larry to write the foreword for my book, even though he doesn't know me, I would do something like this. And just think of how you would do it for who you want. Your video, I'm recording. Hey, Larry, you don't know me. My name is Eli Gonzalez. I read your book on how to write a best-selling book. Oh, my goodness. It shifted my whole perception on how to write books. I can't tell you how happy I am that you wrote that book and how much it blessed me. To the point where now I'm writing another book, and it would mean the world to me if you would consider writing the foreword for my book. I understand you're busy, so I understand if you can't. But even if you can't, please let me know where I can send my book. I'd love to know that it sits in your shelf. Thank you. God bless you. Bam. You write, you do a video. You gush, right? You give praise to the person. Tell them how they've impacted you. Tell them that to the point that I'm now writing a book, it would mean the world to me. I'd be so honored. I'd be so humbled. You know, however you speak, if this person would consider writing the book, and then you give them a, let them off the hook. I understand you're busy. If you can't, that's cool. Let me know where I can send you the book. I'd love to know it sits on your shelf. If you send that to five people, all right, maybe Oprah might not answer you, right? Maybe T.D. Jakes, maybe Osteen, maybe they won't. But if you send that to five people, and you want to send it to five people that have a big audience, I'm telling you guys, one of them is going to get that and say, I would love to. Usually it's, well, what? Tell me a little bit more about your book, or can I see a synopsis? But I've had people, celebrities, write back to my clients and have turned them down, and they get all excited because they just wrote back. Oh, he wrote back. What did he say? He said no, but he wrote back. Right? And here's the super ninja trick, right? So it's on your phone. I say this to a lot of people. Not everyone does it. Guys, have the courage to do it. This works. It works. It works. It works. But only if you do it. Step outside of the box. You will be the only one that has done this for this person probably. Okay? So it works. It works. It works. It works. Should I say it again? Mm-hmm. It works.
You have to find their email address?
No. Here's the secret. You don't send it via email. Okay. They don't read their email depending on who you're sending it to. They're right? They have assistants. You do a direct tweet. The video, you go on Twitter, you start a Twitter account, it's free. You look up their name, you'll find it. You tweet right at them. They all read their own emails, their own Twitter accounts. They will see your 30-second, 40-second video. Don't make it more than 50 seconds. They'll see how long it is, and they'll, right? Make it about 30 to 40 seconds. They will look at it, and right then and there, they might tweet you back. Monster hook. That's a monster hook. Now when your book comes out, not only does it come out to your circle of influence, but whose else's?
Theirs.
Right? Now who might invite you to preach at his church? Him. Now who might invite you to come on their show? Her. Right? If it's a TV evangelist, he might plug it. You never know. You never know. But we love to help, guys. So again, and I'll get off of this. Again, you know, just be authentic. Just roll the dice, man. Go with it. If that lady that's doing the vegan thing, all 15 people are now in her book. So what we had to do is go back to them, says, hey, we already, you know, we think it'd be better if you could interview for the book. They've all interviewed for her book. When she writes this book, she's going to go from a nobody to right in the major circuits with them. Her name is Vanessa Sardi. I forget the name of her book, but if anybody in the vegan lifestyle knows this, That woman will be very, very well known by the end of this year. Her book comes out in July. But it won't work if you don't do it. So do it. You got nothing to lose. Okay.
Got a question.
Sure.
In that scenario, would it also be possible to have one write it forward and use the other somewhere else in the book?
Absolutely. You want to get, listen, I wrote Peter's book. Did you guys meet Pete? Peter? Excuses?
Yes,
so I worked on his book. His book is, and I'm answering your question with this story. His book is really about what excuses are, right? It's called Excuses, right? Which one is yours? Basically, the book really says that excuses are really a lie that we allow ourselves to believe that holds us back from our true potential. That's what an excuse is, right? And the book is really centered on five people in the Bible that gave excuses to God. God don't care about your excuses. He cares about the truth, right? He cares about his will being done, right? So, you know, the woman you gave me. Oh, the serpent. Oh, my clan is the smallest. Oh, I stutter when I talk. All these excuses. So when we're almost done with the book, I say to Pete, you know, we're going to get a lot of people motivated to live an excuse-free life, but we don't have the practical applications for them to do so. How about if we interviewed some life coaches that teach on that stuff? He said, great, interview them. He made me do the work. So I interviewed them, and now if you get the book, you get motivated. But then there's actually a part two on the book. Now this is how to live an excuse-free life. These are practical things you can apply in your life to live an excuse-free life. Now it's a full, whole book. Yes, call people, ask them, if you want to interview somebody for your book, oh, but my book's my personal life story. That's okay. At the last chapter, you could talk to, you know, interview, you know, this doctor, psychologist, whatever, on trauma, on child abuse, on wife abuse, whatever your book is about, and have that doctor's name somewhere in your book. And that, you don't have to do the Twitter thing. That, you just call. Yeah, can you tell Dr. Smith that I'm writing a book on, you know, whatever field he's in? And that we would like to use him as a subject matter, as an expert subject matter on the book, on that subject, on the book. We'd love to interview him, have him as part of the book. If they tell you how much you're going to pay me, go to the next one. You shouldn't have to pay for that. But even when you're writing your own life story, or at the very end, or at the very least, interview other women that have gone through what you've gone through that you know of. Put it on Facebook. I'm writing a book on being abused. If you know of another woman that's been through it, that's God brought them through, please get them in touch with me. I'd like to put her story in my book too. We wrote a book for a mother who's got an autistic child. We put 9 different stories from, and guess what happened when that book came out? It blew up in different parts of the country. Because there was a woman in Virginia who had a chapter. There was a woman in Tennessee that had a chapter. And when that book came out, exploded. So, definitely interview people for your book. You want them to be, we read for 3 reasons. 3 main reasons why we read is to be entertained, to be taught, or to be motivated. If you can do all 3 in one, you got a heck of a book. Okay. So we've gone through how the beginning of the book is prime real estate, right? We've gone through there. We've gone through the outline, right? Again, guys, it's very imperative to write an outline. Most people that I know that actually finished the book is because they wrote an outline. Another thing too, guys, is how many of you guys have been to the gym that one time and you worked out way too hard, you didn't go for another month? You know what's funny? It's like that in writing. This is another reason why a lot of people don't write their books. They start to write. They get so motivated. They get so into it. They keep writing. It's bedtime. They keep writing. They write for 4 hours. Then when they think about writing it, oh, I don't have all the energy for all that. It scares them away. What we do for people is once we do the outline for them as ghostwriters, what we do is we interview them a chapter a week. I would submit to you to consider writing your book a chapter a week. A, your book will be a lot better. If you do the outline, if you do the outline and you now know what's in chapter one, when our people come to us for our meetings and they know the four, I tell them, okay, forget about the topics in page chapters two through whatever, right? Just focus on chapter one. They come to us with their best material. If you had a chapter to talk about your childhood and you give yourself a week, you know what you'll probably do? You'll call up your big sister. Hey, what do you remember about when we were born? You, mira, mami, ¿qué pasó? Like, what happened when this? Right? You'll have more time to get ready to prepare. Prepare to write. Writing a book is a big deal. It can do huge things for you. Respect the process. Prepare to write. Take a week and study or call people. Hey, what do you remember about this? I remember. And when you go and sit down and write, you're going to be itching for that time to write. And when you do, and you write that chapter, and you're in the zone, and you're done with the first chapter, stop. Don't work out too hard. Stop. Give that process to your book. You will have a well-developed, well-thought-out book. I'm not a believer in write a book in 30 days. People that I know that have done that, they've always regretted things that they left out of it. We don't do it. Somebody hires me to write a book in 30 days, I tell them, no, we're not the right ones for you. Because I've seen the other side of it. And then they blame me for their book. Well, you never told me that. Well, you're the ghostwriter. You're supposed to take it out of me? Yeah, but you didn't follow my process. So what do you need from me? All right. The hook. The hook is not the first sentence. Write this down. The hook is not the first sentence. Too many people get hung up on, I don't know how to hook them in the beginning, the first sentences. They call me Ishmael is the first sentence for the wildly popular book Moby Dick. What the heck? They call me Ishmael. Right? It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. The first sentence in Les Miserables. What does that even mean, right? The hook, write this down. The hook is the first emotion that the reader feels. The first emotion you make the reader feel. And I tell you that the reader will give you 3 or 4 paragraphs to see if they're going to want to buy your book. Here's the thing. Again, the hook is the first emotion that you make the reader feel. Here's the thing. It's hard for us not to talk about ourselves. It's my story. Well, I want to talk about leadership because, well, I learned this and I learned that, and when I went through this and then God showed me this, it's so me-centric. The hook can't be about you. The hook has to be about me, the reader. Right? Instead of I learned to become a great leader, blah, blah, blah. It has to be to the reader. To the reader. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready to become a great leader. Right? Something like that. Where it's to them. To them. I'm going to read you guys an amazing hook. Then I'll tell you guys which book it was. It starts off with a Bible verse, and then I'm going to say something about Bible verses now before I forget. Listen, a lot of us want to put Bible verses in the book, and that's okay too. I'm not saying not to. What I'm going to tell you is a lot of people skip over it. When they're reading a story and they're engaged in a story and there's a Bible verse, they skip over it. And now you're trying to make a point about the Bible verse that you put in there, but they didn't read it. A lot of people skip over Bible verses. Don't look at me like I don't know God. I know God. I do too, so I skip it sometimes. We all like do. It's not that you don't put it in there. You paraphrase it. Make sure that they read it. Like in Luke 35 when it says blah, 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 and then you just write it out. People will read that instead of here's a Bible verse, King James Version. What Paul is trying to say there. Don't do it. This particular book starts with a Bible verse. Because it's intricate to the book. And then, but you'll see his first chapter. I'm going to read this to you guys. Chapter 1. And behold, there was a woman, this is Luke 13, 11 and 2. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Then he starts his first paragraph like this. The Holy Spirit periodically lets us catch a glimpse of the personal testimony of one of the patients of the divine physician himself. This woman's dilemma is her own, but perhaps you will find some point of relativity between her case history and your own. She could be like someone you know or have known. She could even be like you. She could even be like you. He's saying this book you're about to read is about someone that could be just like you. Anybody know the book? Woman, Thou Art Loosed. Woman, Thou Art Loosed by T.D. Jakes. He goes on to further talk to the reader there in that first chapter. That book has been made into a movie. How many of you guys would like your books being made into a movie? Raise your hands. If you're not ready, if you didn't raise your hand, I'm not going to believe a word you say to me later. That book's been made in women's conference. There's Women Thou Art Loosed in Philadelphia. There's Women Thou Art Loosed in Atlanta. There's that woman, that book has been made into a devotional. That book has been made into its very own Bible with commentaries based on women like that. So the guy knows what he's doing. Of course, it helps that he is T.D. Jakes and has a huge platform, you know, but he used a very sound hook. He didn't start the book by, hi, my name is T.D. Jakes. You may have seen me on TV. He said, hey, this book is somebody probably could be very much like you. Right? So it's got to be about the reader. You know, make the hook about the reader. There's a guy that I'm helping him with his book now, and he's writing a book on the art of following. Right? And it's all I this, I that, I this, I that. You know, where we change his language to, you know, you. You know, and basically the premise of that book is that only one person can stand here at the mic all the time, but the Church of God, you know, needs a lot of people that in servitude, you know, God's will gets done. That's the premise of his book on the art of following. But anyway, it was way too centered on him, and when that book comes out, it's gonna do very well. He got Pastor Samuel Rodriguez, who he doesn't know, to write the foreword for his book. Because he said, Pastor Sam, you're awesome. Please do the foreword for my book. And Pastor Sam tweeted back, I'd love to. Okay. Talk to the person in your book. A hook, talk to the person. Even if it's your life story, talk to me. Right? I wrote down some examples. This is a good hook. You might not believe everything you read in this book. You're talking to the reader. You might not believe everything you read in this book. This is your biography. This is your testimony. But you don't start off with, I was born in 1960, whatever. Right? You might not believe everything you read in this book. There's a healthy cynic in everyone. But I assure you, what you're about to read is a true account. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. That's a hook. You're talking to the reader. Somebody reads it. You're not going to believe this. Has anybody ever said to you, you're not going to believe this and be like, yeah, I don't care. No, you're like, I'm not going to believe what? What? Right? So that's a hook. Here's another one. Talk to the reader. What if I told you? Just write that down. What if I told you? I'm going to read this paragraph out for you guys. What if I told you that I've done things I'm ashamed of? But because I feel it can bless you and maybe even free you, I decided to write it down. Please don't judge me. But I'll tell you the truth. If you do, it won't bother me much. God has forgiven and liberated me. The truth is, this book probably has less to do with me and more to do with you. This has less to do with me, more to do with you. I wrote this book because God put it in my heart to write this book. No, it's not about me, the author. It's about you, the reader. I wrote this book for you. I wrote this book for you. Anybody have any questions at this point before I keep on moving on?
What book is that from?
Oh, this is just something I wrote.
That you wrote.
Just now. To give you guys some examples. You can steal it. You can take it.
Okay. I love that, of course.
Tweak it to your own. I will send to Zulon the ones I've written. And have you guys that have come here, I'll have them send it to you. And feel free to just use it. Get the reader to agree with you. That's another way to hook them in. Get the reader to agree with you. I've been in sales. Before I started as a writer, I was in corporate sales for 22 years. I was a sales manager, and we did a lot of sales training and techniques and all these things. And one of the very basic techniques in sales is to get people to agree with you. So when you say something, you say, you know what I mean? Or you are right, or sometimes you nod, and people don't know why, but they're nodding too. Right? But you buy agreement. You buy an agreement. So when people start reading your book, you know, get them to agree with you. And I'm going to give you my go-to. This one isn't about seven books that I've written. This same one, written kind of different styles. But I can't find anybody that disagrees with this. And I think that you're going to agree with me too. Where is it? Oh, here it is. This is genius, guys. Genius. Everybody agrees with this one. Whatever happened to the work ethic of this country? I mean, people from all nationalities, from all walks of life, came and with their bare hands carved out a living for themselves. They built this country from nothing into a top country in less than two centuries. I mean, our great grandfathers understood the meaning of hard work. Have you talked to a teenager lately? Whatever happened to the work ethic of this country? You can be old or young saying that, and everybody's going to agree with you. We all know that lazy kid, right? It's all entitled. So agreement, find a way to get people to agree with you. Wouldn't it be great if you could blank? What's your book about? Right? Wouldn't it be great if you can live free? Wouldn't it be great if you can forgive? Wouldn't it be great if you can tap into the power of prayer? Depending on what your book is about, wouldn't it be great? Yes, it would. I agree. It would be great. Get them to agree. Okay. I've got about a few minutes left and 3% of my battery.
That's going to show off.
Yeah. Listen, guys, your why is very important. You got to know why. You got to be selfish with it. Your why, right? Who's your book for, and why should they read it? Who is your book for? You got to have an avatar. You got to have those people or that one person. Try to take those people and embody them in one person. Speak to that person. There's a million people like that person. Well, my book is for all women. No, it's not. No, it's not. Every woman here's got different issues. It's not for all women. So speak to women who are barren, or speak to women who have been abused, or speak to, what I'm saying is that the world is big enough that you can niche down in your book and become the expert in that field and still have a great ministry, and your book is still do extremely well. We only write business books or faith-based books. There are people with crazy ideas, imagination, and a lot of money that try to hire us to write their books for them. We don't do that. You know why? And I'm saying this because it's true, because we don't have to, because we've built ourselves up with credibility. Now, if you write a business book and you know of another ghostwriter that can write anything, or a ghostwriter that specializes in business books, who are you going to go to? It's like that lawyer that only handles divorces for men. Yeah, he can't do 50% of the clientele, but the 50% he can service, they all rather go to him, and he raises his prices. He retires a millionaire. What I'm saying is niche down. Be the expert in that pain. Be the go-to person in that field, whatever it is. Whatever testimony you have, what God is calling you for, God is calling you to write a book, but for something. Right? So He's called you to write a book. You guys have spent the whole day here. Well, you'll be here tomorrow. You've paid money to be here out of your busy days. You guys really have a desire to write a book, but for something, to bless others. I don't think that's just it. Or there's many different ways of blessing it. You know, there's so many issues that need a champion. They need a face. They need a go-to. Why not you? Right? So your book, it's for everybody. I don't know how good you're going to market it. Well, if I market it to just these people, trust me, there's enough of those people. You know, ask yourself again, 2 years from now, what did I want the book to do for me? If you're trying to market to everybody, good luck. But the world is big enough that you can niche down and be the voice, be the face of a generation, of a segment of people. The world is big enough. Any questions, guys? I have only like a couple minutes left.
No, but you're my favorite speaker so far.
Oh, right. tell them all that.
I have a question. You referenced a 14-week course on ghostwriting.
Yes.
Is there like a site for that, or like how would we?
Yeah, we can talk about that offline. Okay. Yeah. You guys all obviously want to be writers, so we have a 14-week course. I'm not supposed to sell, I'm not trying to sell it here. Oh. You know, I want to respect the house I'm in. But yeah, so if anybody wants to talk to me about that, I can give you guys more information on that. But I'll end with this. I don't know if I said this already, and I think I did. But guys, the Church of God is being outwritten. Do your part. Do your part. Do your part. Do your part. You're here for a reason. Make it count. Make your lives count. Leave a legacy. You know, you gotta find out why you want to write that book. It's got to be authentic to you. Make your outline. Give it a chapter a week, and you're going to find out that you wrote a book that you're proud of and that you finished it. All right? Question?
In reference to publishing, when the paying a company to publish you or you do yourself publishing, mm-hmm. it's going to cost you either way.
Yeah. So a lot of people say, well, you know what? I'll self-publish because it's free. Here's the truth, guys. You can upload your book on Amazon, and that's free. But free isn't good, you know? And here's the deal. You can upload it, and it's free, but you got to pay somebody to do your typesetting. You got to buy ISBN numbers. One of them costs $195. Then the next pack is a 10-pack. You need a few ISBN numbers because you want your book on Amazon. But if your book is on Amazon, it's not on Barnes & Noble. So you want to buy Barnes & Noble, or Amazon, I spent for Barnes & Noble. But now you got 2 paperbacks and no ebooks. So your typesetter has to put your book on a PDF file for paperback. Then you got to get a Mobi file. Then you got an EPUB file. That costs money. Then, yeah, my friend's doing my book cover. Oh, my God, they better be a genius at it. You know, go with a publishing company. Go with a publishing company that has interior designers design and format your book, right? Put a professional looking cover on your book, you know, and upload the right way. So a lot of people that say self-publishing is free, only the upload part is free. The rest of it is not. And if you do that, you know, without excellence, it's going to hurt you in sales. You know, whatever you guys do, get an editor. Never trust your own editing, guys. And your mom, your brother, your sister, no, get a professional editor. Well, my sister's an English teacher or high school teacher. No, get a professional editor, somebody that does it for a living. I'm telling you, you will know every page where there's a mistake, and you will know every time that something should have been written differently. It's going to haunt you. Get an editor, go through a publisher, people that know these things. It'll cost you a lot more in the long run. Sure.
Chapters. When it comes to you pretty much trying to decide how many chapters,
okay.
How many pages.
Do you guys have time for this? Because I think we're officially over our time. Oh, we're at 3:15 now. Let me tell you what I like to do for chapters. I said that everybody's got ADD, right?
Yes.
Some people come to me and they say, I have 10 chapters. I'd rather the same size book with 20 chapters than 10. What I'm saying is I prefer shorter chapters over longer chapters, and I'll tell you why. And if you've ever read a book before, you're gonna agree with me. You're reading a book, you finish a chapter, You see you got 10 minutes left. What do? You flip through. Can I read this next chapter? If it's 20 pages, you're going to close the book.
Yeah.
If I could read this in 10 minutes. What the reader experiences is they couldn't put it down. That's what you want to hear from your book. Mm-hmm. So smaller chapters.
Define
smaller. Don't cheat on the story.
How many pages is smaller?
The pages doesn't matter because the pages can be manipulated through printing and typesetting, yeah. Right? With font and size. What matters is the word count.
Okay, how many words?
Oh, man, I'm going to give this away for free. All right. Man. No, 1,800 to about 2,300 words, those are great lengthy. Those are great chapters. They're bite-sized. It's big enough that you can make your point, right? Don't cut your own legs off though. Don't kill the story. Don't cut it off. Just bring it to the next chapter. You know? But bite-sized chapters work with subtitles. If you're writing a book that's teaching anything, oh, I'm giving everything away now. This is everything must go, Sal. I'm just she said I'm her favorite, I'll make sure I'm her favorite. Forget it. If you're writing a book to teach, right? Pull quotes, basically you've seen them when you're reading a book. It's that real cool line that they took and they took out and they put a box around it. That's a pull quote. There's a thing that we do called pattern interrupt. So we want to interrupt the look of every page. You know how all the pages look the same? We find a way to do that, right? So sometimes just titles in bold. You know, when you're switching in time frames or 3 weeks later or whatever it is, if you're telling your story, whatever, put that in bold. Pull quotes are very, very good for pattern interrupt.
Almost like a magazine article.
Yes. She said almost like a magazine article. You know, basically, you don't want your guys, I listen to me. Long paragraphs. Those are my pet peeve. I'm very much a word nerd. That's why I do this for a living. Those are my pet peeve, these long paragraphs. If you have a paragraph that's almost a Word document, do you know that that's going to be a whole page in your book, a block? Who's going to look at that and be like, ooh, can't wait to dive into this?
Well, white space,
oh my God.
Makes it more attractive and it's easier to read.
Yeah.
That's a common and unknown factor.
You don't want to go over 14 lines. Oh, I'm giving all the way now.
Don't go over
14 lines. I'm out of here before you guys know. Before you guys,
Over 14 lines per paragraph or per
paragraph. If you're at 14 lines, cut it. Start a new paragraph. And when it gets typeset, it's going to look really ugly. Okay, guys, that's my time. I really hope, if anything, that I motivated you guys. I think I've given you ways that you guys can become part of that less than 1%. Hey, man, write your books. Change people's lives. Write it well, and it'll change your life. Thank you so much.